Welcome to the Business Trendsetter Podcast, where we talk about trends and how to grow your business. My name is Manny Turan.
And I'm Adam Hartung.
Today, we have a very special guest, Dr. Ram Goyoso, who comes to us from Futures TV, headquartered in Phoenix, Arizona. And we're excited to have Ram on here because he really embodies the new generation intrepid media mogul in waiting here. And we're very excited to hear about what he has to say concerning the future of really media and what he's doing. But in particular, we're going to start off with Adam asking some questions about some unmet need and sort of foundational questions. So go ahead, Adam.
Sure. Well, people that have followed my writing for the last 15 years know that it was a decade ago that I started saying that streaming was going to take out broadcast TV and it was going to have a big impact on cable. And the 2,000 or so cable channels that you have on your television monitor would become a lot of stuff that nobody watched and it would switch over. Last quarter, we finally did see that breakover. Cable and other forms beat broadcast, I think it was about 7-8 years ago. But last quarter, streaming, more time was spent on what we call a television, that monitor. More time was spent on streaming than was spent on cable. So we've gone over the top of that mountain now. Streaming is the future. And how we interact with news, how we interact with entertainment has forever changed. What's exciting about this interview is that we have here Dr. Goyoso, who has been paying attention to this trend and a long time ago decided he would start a media company. So we have the next John Malone, who, you know, today runs Warner Media and Discovery, sitting here on the monitor with us. And I'd like to start it off by asking you, Ram, what were you doing what did you stop doing? What were you doing before? What did you stop doing to start up Futures TV? And what was the unmet need that you identified? What was the target, that unmet target, when you got started?
So, well, first of all, thank you very much for having me here. It's a pleasure and an honor to be with the Spark Partners today. I was really in the traditional way. I was thinking, I have a magazine. The magazine is online. And I thought, that's the way to go, magazine. And I thought of it as the old days. You flip to the pages of the magazine and that's how people read. And then I started realizing it is really not. People would go through the front cover, and then they would go to the index of articles. They would go to the article they want to read, and then they would leave. So there's no going from page to page, beginning to end anymore. And then they started getting more requests for media-rich content, and by that I mean just media files, interviews, and things like that. And then I said, well, why not? I started a podcast, and then I realized, I got 1,000 people reading the article, and I got 150,000 people watching the video. And then I realized, oh my gosh. The people don't want to read the magazines anymore. They probably want media-rich format where there's more interactive. And from that, I went live. And then in the lives, I could engage with the audience a lot better. I could understand what they want to know. They would give feedback. And then I could build the relationship, which is ultimately what we all want, is to build that relationship with the audience. The audience responds back. And then they realize, well, that's really the way to go. As you mentioned, maybe the old ways of sharing news is no good anymore. I still keep the magazine. I love it. I write. People love writing and reading and commenting. But really, the force became video. And then I realized I have to do that in a structured way. Of course, I have a YouTube channel and things like that. But I realized, no, if I put more structure behind it, and that's how I created Futures Television, there was a niche because television talks a lot about many things, but not one channel that is dedicated to issues of the future. So things like you guys do, right? So business trends, what's trending in the economy, foresight, scenario planning, that kind of stuff. And they thought, no, if I put together a team of wonderful people who can share their views on futures, that is going to be a winning combination. And that's what drove me, actually.
Well, let's back up one more time. So are you a medical doctor or, what prepared you to be a media mogul?
Well, I'm an economist and few people actually confess to that in public. I'm one of those that will confess. No, so my dissertation was actually in scenario planning, so strategic planning, scenario planning. And so it was very academic, What I very quickly realize, and things that you guys say on the podcast all the time, is that business people don't want to hear your stats, your statistical talk. They want to know real information. They want to talk about the economy and where we're going, but not in statistical terms. So very early in my career, I realized that, you know, talking stats not going to get me very far, but doing models and scenarios that include, you know, consumer confidence and things like that, that's what people want. That's what managers want. And that's what people want to talk about. So I kind of switched, you know, very early in my career. And then I realized, you know, if my goal is to communicate, and you know what, Adam, one problem with my profession, economists, if they say, if you open your mouth and nobody understands what you say, you're good, right? And I think this is absolutely horrible. You know, what a waste. No, we want people to understand what you're saying so that it will be useful to them. They will apply it, not in some esoteric future, but today in their jobs or tomorrow, or like, you know, when you go watch Spark Partners, you're talking about trends and business trends and what you can do about it. And that's what drove me into media. This is something that is applicable, not esoteric conversations, not the ivory tower talking, really, you know, business people discussing what can we do to make our lives better.
That's very fascinating. I know there's so much information right now online at all different forms and news and fake news and this and that. And it really behooves the individual to really get outside that box and think. That's one of the things that Adam and I, especially Adam, coined that term, the idea of getting outside the box, because we're all in the box. And you in particular embody that intrepid person who is getting us out of the box. Right? The box of being the cable box, the TV box, whatever you want to call it. So let me ask this question. Who is the audience that you're reaching out to? I mean, you mentioned a couple different groups, but is there a particular audience that would be really best suited to tune in to Futures TV?
Yes. So what's really interesting, and I had an interesting discussion with the television people about that and the networks, is that different audiences follow the same media in different platforms. And so, for example, when I go on LinkedIn and I'm live, I get usually the audiences white, male, 45 and above. Okay. When I go to my YouTube channel, it's usually female, 24 to 35. And when I'm in the magazine, I get all of the above, and then I get the 18 to 24s. So what I realize is that different people have different preferences for consuming news or information. And then I thought, well, if I want to present this information, I want them to consume the information and do something useful, I have to be in the platforms and in the style in which they want to hear, not in the ones that I want to talk to. And that's really what kind of pushed me, is understanding if I want to deliver some message, I need to look at my customers and understand how, when and where do they want to hear the message. And that's why I kind of branched from one thing to the other.
What's the timeline on when you started the blogging / writing magazine, and the timeline on when you started the podcasting and moved that towards Futures TV?
So blogging, I've been blogging and writing for a couple of years, about 8-9 years on my blog, on my own blog. And that, it was kind of interesting, but you know, it wasn't very fulfilling. And I felt it was disorganized in the sense that I didn't have a clear mission with the blog. It was just a blog. We're just, you know, shooting the breeze and talking to people. And then I realized, well, I'm investing time here, right? So it should be beneficial for me and for the others. So what will people get when they read my blog? And that's how I started to organize my thoughts. And talking with my friends and my colleagues and partners, I said, well, magazines, we don't have a good magazine to write to anymore. So I'll put that thing together. That was about 2 years ago. And then said, well, I'll start with the magazine, which I thought was really cool. And then I quickly realized, again, as I just mentioned to you, well, they don't read quite a lot and they read very differently. So I said, well, now that I learned that they read differently, then I said, I have to expand the blog into social media. So I got into social media. I used to be 9 social media platforms. I drop off of the Russian one. I don't want any trouble in there. And from that, 2 years ago, and that's when I really started to think very seriously about taking the blog and turning that into a podcast, and from the podcast to the lives. And about last year, that's when I moved into Futures Television, meaning more organized, more structured, bringing programming that I feel will add to people, not just not waste your time. But I think about television is investing your time. So what do you get when you watch television? If it's just killing time, I think that's not a very good idea. Once you get people watching, then I do want them to get out of the box. I have provocative guests. I have people who talk about, you know, business trends like you guys. I have others that come in. And for example, when we talk stem cells, I have one guy that says it's the best thing since sliced bread. And then I have the dean from the Stanford School of Medicine that says it's hullabaloo. 1 or 2% of it is true. The other 98%, it's Dr. Mesmer or snake oil. It is not proven. They just try to get your money. So I think the role of television is not to become a propaganda machine, but rather to bring information, present information, one side, the other side, and let the audience really decide. We should, media shouldn't be in the business of telling people what the truth is. What we should be doing is presenting the facts and the information and helping people find information and make a decision on their own.
You know, I really appreciate the comment that you're making about people wanting content in different formats. It was 2009 when Forbes approached me and asked me if I would start to write a column. And they made a really simple contract. I got a penny per reader. And so that sounded good. At the end of a year, I was making about $10,000 a month off the column. And I got a phone call and they said, yeah, we're going to rewrite your contract. And I was kind of like, excuse me? And they said, yeah, well, you know, if you don't want to take a rerun on your contract, you can happily go work somewhere else. And so I had to, okay, we're going to go down this road. And from 2009 to 2018, every year that happened to me. They had changed my contract, whack it back, get me down to where I'm making somewhere around $600 a month. And by the end of the year, I would have that back up around $10,000 a month. And they'd say, oh, we're going to rewrite the contract. And I started to understand the issue wasn't me. The issue was they didn't have the money. That in fact, even though I was getting a lot of eyeballs, and I had well over 100 million eyeballs by 2018, they couldn't get enough money out of it. The magazine was flailing. It wasn't doing well. Steve Forbes had sold the magazine to a private equity firm out of Singapore. He was only tangentially involved. The editor that I worked for was 4 years older than I was. They had no plans for podcasts. They weren't going down the video route. They were very much stuck in the way of making a magazine, part of which was printed and part of which was online. And it just struck me that, okay, this is a dying route. This is a dead direction. I needed to get out and go somewhere else. And that's when I broke away myself personally because of the same thing. And I had some people that came to me and they would say, Adam, I really miss your blog. And I would say, how old are you again? And, you know, they were all my age. There were people that were up there in years, a lot of them towards the end of their career. And I said, you're not buying consulting, are you? You're not in a decision-making role. So you're reading my blog for pleasure. And congratulations. And I hope you enjoy that. But, you know, I need to reach more people. And I'm not getting there by trying to write a blog. And that's when I met Manny. And Manny and I sat down. And Manny, being a different generation, he said, Adam, we're going to go podcast. We're going to go video podcast. And from the beginning, every podcast has been video. And exactly what you said. Trying to reach out, make sure that we're getting to people, especially younger people, because we like to appeal to small business people and entrepreneurs. And those are generally people under the age of 50, a lot of them under the age of 40. And we need the platform that they get to. So I really appreciate the analysis you went through, because it kind of follows along what we went through in terms of trying to say, how do we get entrepreneurs to hear about what are some of the best practices that they can have for going forward with their business? Now, as you've been at this for the last few years, and I know you're putting a lot of effort in, you're making another transition now. I feel like you're Netflix. Netflix went from sending DVDs to making their own shows to getting into gaming. Radio. Now, most people would say going to radio is going backwards. Tell me why you're bringing out the radio program.
Yes. So one of the issues that I run into is that the market for television is very fragmented. So you have, you know, Netflix, but then you have Tubi, you have Hulu, you have Roku, you have Apple, etc. So there's like a Chinese buffet. I want, you know, broccoli shrimp, not broccoli beef. So, and I thought, well, the market's so fragmented and you try to be in all the platforms is very tiring. And then I thought, well, which other media could I use that would have a very broad reach? And would be basically device agnostic, because nowadays I can hear the radio on the radio, on my PC, on my cell phone, on my tablet, on my Fire, on my Kindle. So I thought, well, what is that media? I said, well, that's radio. Yeah, they say it's old media. But we do put a lot of time into radio. So maybe I'm working and I have my radio in the background, or maybe, you know, I have my headphone, I want to, you know, listen to something while I'm doing, or maybe I'm going to work, or maybe I'm sitting, I'm relaxing, drinking, you know, a glass of wine or a cup of coffee, and I want the news plus some commentary and something interesting. So I want to use my time, and I thought, well, why not radio? Radio is that thing that is device agnostic. It goes anywhere. And then my audience is, instead of being the United States, now it's worldwide, because internet radio, now it's streaming radio, right?
Yeah.
So it's the world. So I no longer have to worry about, well, will people in, you know, Urbana listen to my show? Now I have to think about, will people in Manila like what I have to say? But then the beautiful part of it is that when I go through my network and I talk with people, oh, but I'm in the radio. Oh, well, then I can listen to you. Then all the barriers kind of fall down. Oh, I don't have Roku. Oh, I don't have Apple. I don't have Fire. But the radio, that I can do. So I felt the radio allowed me that piece of the engine that was missing, which is a device agnostic, anywhere, everywhere kind of component. And yes, people say it's old style media, but I realized that is a thing that can take me anywhere, everywhere, and whichever way they want to listen to the show, that's where I'm going.
So just to be more clear, you're talking about internet streaming radio, not the AM dial radio that from the past.
AM,
yes.
Dial? Did you say AM?
AM dial?
No, not going AM or FM. What I'm doing is streaming. Again, back to Adam's comment, you know, the idea of streaming and streaming the media and streaming, yeah. So I stream. So why not stream on the waves of the radio? Why not?
So I have two children. I have a 16-year-old and a 14-year-old, both boys, and they're both heavily into gaming. And there's one thing that's very interesting that they do that for all those listeners out there that do not have kids or teenagers, and I think you do, Rom, so you might know this. They'll be playing a video game right here, right in front of them. To the left, my son has another computer that has Discord or Twitch, one of these other things. He's watching somebody else, either live or recorded, play the same game, okay? And then to his right is his phone with the you know, Discord or another platform or texting or the phone all at the same time. And he's able to, he's like an air traffic controller. He's like a pilot because he's here, he's over here, he's on his phone, and he's navigating these games that are not only being played internationally, right? He's actually in a game, a first-person shooter game with his buddies locally, and they're part of a team with people from God knows where. You know, obviously prevents some challenges and some opportunities for some nefarious things, but overall, it's a new way of entertainment. So I guess that is where my question comes from. That was very surprising to me. What has been the most surprising thing that you've learned over the past, 2 years, 3 years since you've been doing this?
That people will only consume the things the way they want it. So I was still thinking the old way, you know, make it and therefore they will buy, you know, if you make a magazine, they will read cover to cover. That's not true. You know, if the article is interesting enough, they will read it. That's not true either. And then they realize, no. So it's not about how I want to say it and how I want to present it. It's about how they want to read or hear or watch and when and where. So I went out of the idea of, you know, it needs to be, you know, primetime television, it needs to be scheduled at 6 p.m. No, because some people like their news at 9. Some people like their news at 4. Some people are drinking tea, others are having supper. So the issue is, what was really clear to me is that instead of trying to believe in the old media style, which Adam actually said, you know, and I believed in that, I was a believer, then I realized, no, that doesn't work anymore. I really have to, voice of the customer, right, understand, and I was started to talk to people and say, I like your stuff, but not at this hour. Oh, I like our stuff, but that's not, I don't have Roku. I like our stuff, but I don't watch Apple. Can't you do something about it? I said, well, I can't. So what is surprising to me is that so many people, at least like me, still think this way. You know, we're still the people that, you know, I buy newspapers and I read through the newspapers and sometimes it's just to do the crossword puzzle at the back. But I think of it as a newspaper, beginning to end, cover to cover, and that's not anymore. So for me, it was a shocking thing. Is one thing is when you hear about it, and the other thing is when you see it. When you're trying to communicate with people and the message doesn't go through, and then you ask, so why isn't the message going through? It's because it's not the right media. It's not the right approach. I want whenever I want it and the way I want to consume, not the way you want to present. And then realize that, you know what? I'm not, you know, married to anything. If that's the way they want, that's what they get. And that's what was surprising to me. And I think, you know, I was open-minded to realize, you know, if why keep trying to push the old model if that's not what they want? They want something else, present it, right?
Speaking of that, we're now talking about content. And how have you resisted the urge for salacious content? Let's take, for example, Alex Jones, who was a person who just started making all kinds of crazy, ridiculous things up. He put it out in a podcast and he tapped into people who just love salacious content. And as a result, he ended up getting on television and radio, and you know, he sold a lot of products, made some money. And of course, now he's been taken to jail, found guilty of doing bad things, and his world's going to hurt. But think about that. For 10 years, this guy was out there promoting and saying a lot of crazy stuff. And why did he get to do it? Because salacious content brought in listeners, brought in viewers. And so how have you resisted that urge? Because I'm sure that salacious content could help you grow even faster.
Well, they tried to force feed it to me. They said, well, all that you have to do, and I'm pretty sure the advice was given in the best of possible ways, was to get a bunch of semi-naked people to go up the hills in here in Arizona and do survival in those superstition mountains. And the other guy said, I promise you're going to get 1 million views overnight. Isn't that what you want? I said, yes, I know. Yeah. Then I said, well, look, survival. I have nothing against the show. But look, there are like 200 cameras, right, in the quote island. And in the break, there are like 20 camera people in there. And in the breaks, they're having Big Macs. Everybody knows it's a fake. So how I resisted to all those things is simple. It is really my mission and my vision. And I have to stay faithful to that. So in my perspective, I think television needs to add something to you, to me, to you. So when people tune in, I only go after programming that I'm sure will deliver something positive and constructive. I'm not Pollyannish by any stretch of the imagination, but I feel that people are giving me their time, and the only thing we really have in life is time, then I need to pay them back with some real content, something that will better their lives, something that will help their businesses grow. And selling this kind of, you know, trash talk, and does it sell? Yes, it does. But it's not what I want. It's not my vision or my mission. My vision is perhaps what we call old style television. I know it's funny. It's called futures television. But the idea of delivering information, constructive talks, getting people to engage. And when they finally, you know, shut down the browser or the radio or the television, they realize, oh, you know what? I heard many tell me about, you know, those new trends in car electrification. Oh, well, you know what? There's a bunch of gas stations here. Now I'm going to go look at them and maybe I can take it over. So I will do something positive. I grew because I watched this partner show. And that's the kind of stuff I want to do. The salacious content, it sells, but it doesn't add to anyone. I want to be seen as someone who actually add to someone's life, not take away.
I have a comical story. About 13 years ago, I was trying to make a name for myself writing for Forbes. And I got a call one day to be on a radio program. And in those days, I was so thrilled to get called for any kind of an interview that I always took them. Eventually, I did hundreds of them, but this was still fairly early. And the fellow said he wanted to do this radio interview. I said, fine. And he wanted me to explain to people in a very basic way. He said, my listeners are not sophisticated. He said, help them understand what's the Dow Jones Industrial Average? What's the S&P 500? You know, what are they, should they be investors? Should they not be investors? Very basic. I got on the program and I was going along and he would ask me questions and he'd say things like, well, on the Dow Jones, who decides who's on the Dow Jones? And I'd say, well, it's a committee of people that work for the Dow Jones company and they're very bright people. They're very experienced and they're trying to, you know, put together a basket of stocks that are like the economy. And he said, so it's not determined by the population. Oh, no, it's determined by this group of people. And asking a few questions like that. I did not realize that he, in fact, had a radio program out of Canada that was called X Something Radio. And his number one thing was talking about aliens. And he had this big group of people that listened to his show all the time. And I'd never heard it because I don't think it was broadcast in the U.S. except on the internet. And I didn't bother.
Wait. He's Canadian. So I can't tell you he's an alien,
right? Like, he made it sound like that I had an inside road and I knew who these people in the Dow Jones were and that all these people were conspiring to make the rich rich and the poor poor. And I had to sit back and say, wow, did I make a mistake to not think ahead, to not pre-screen, to not pay attention to who this guy was, to not understand what his show was. And of course, I pulled back. I never went back on the program again. But it's definitely true that I think people can learn the lesson from you about making sure you know what the goals are you want to set. Because if it's just numbers, like you said, what'd you say? Take half naked people and run them through the Superstition Mountains of Arizona, you'd get a lot of eyeballs. But is that long lived? Can you build a career on it? You know, what would happen? And I think some of our leaders in the media these days have gotten a little bit too tied to this tide that sells advertising and have lost some of the journalistic elements that would drive some of these organizations. And I applaud you. I really do applaud you for having some boundaries and being careful about what you put on the show.
I think we have to think carefully what is the role of the media. And I think it's to inform, to educate, to inspire. And if you think about the role of the media as to sell, then it's a very different story. Then anything's possible and all things are okay. I don't think so. You know, there's a place and a space for that. But I want to offer them, and maybe I drink from the Kool-Aid fountain, but I believe if people see this, they will love it and they will continue to come back and they will tell their friends and their friends will tell their friends. And soon enough, we're going to grow the audience.
Yeah,
but that's my belief.
We talk about the idea, or at least I do, among circles here of, Dwayne The Rock Johnson is the last superstar, megastar, right? There will be no more, obviously Tom Cruise is a megastar and Tom Hanks and so forth and so on, Julie Roberts, but Dwayne The Rock Johnson might be the last one. And we say that because of all of the new ways to consume entertainment. And on news, you know, if you can kind of put that in a block of entertainment, because some of us like to enjoy the actually watching, listening, consuming the news as entertainment. Now, in your looking, especially from your past, because you're a technologist / economist. You look at the way that the economy is affected with technology. Give us a little bit of a glimpse of the long-term future of Futures TV. Where do you want to see what you're doing, including the radio stuff? Where do you want to see your organization in, let's say, 10 years?
So one of the most interesting pieces of my mission or my vision is really a focus on diversity. So I believe the only possible future is the future where we all participate, and it needs to be co-constructed. So we need to find ways to bring other people's voices into the debate. And that's exactly where I want to be. Now, 10 years from now, right now, I'm just really barely starting, but I started International Hour. So I invited, the Maori people, and they have their show. So they're going to come in and give their perspectives of the world. I'm going to learn about the Maoris and how they see things and what kind of issues they have in New Zealand. And I think for us in the U.S., that's very important because we need to become more open-minded and embrace the rest of the world, hear their voices, what tickles them, what bothers them. And you know what? Perhaps the Maoris have issues that we solved in the past and they can benefit from us. And perhaps we have issues that we have not solved and we can benefit from their perspective or different kind of eyeballs. And I am starting International Hour. So New Zealand is first. I'm working with people from Portugal and Brazil to bring content in Portuguese and people from Germany to bring content in German. But again, the whole idea is getting this dialogue in the media. You know, what are they doing? So, for example, you know, in Heidelberg, they banned cars in the city center. Okay. It worked in Heidelberg. Would that work in Hamburg or Berlin? Probably not. Right. But would that work in the United States? Well, I don't know. They'd be in a small community. But communities in Europe are reacting this certain way. Actually, Rotterdam is in the Netherlands is following suit, perhaps would be a trend. But what I find interesting is that we as people, now we can sit on the proverbial internet table or the global table and have those kinds of conversations. And I want to facilitate that. And so 10 years from now, that's what I want. Bigger integration, more voices, different perspectives, and the more the merrier. So that's how I see it 10 years from now.
That's very good. So I would, at this time, you know, thank you so much for your time, Ram. It's been a pleasure having you. Why don't you just tell our viewers and listeners how they can find you and what they can expect to gain from interacting with your platform?
So you can find us on futurestelevision.com. We transmit via Roku TV and Apple TV. You can add us using your Apple TV device. I am imcimagazine.com. So that's the magazine side, which carries the blog. And then it's Radio Futures. And you can find it on radiofutures.com. And you can download the player. So you can listen to what's going on the radio. You can actually listen to the Spark Partners on Radio Futures, or you can watch the Spark Partners on Futures Television.
Adam, any final thoughts or questions for Ram before we log out for today?
Well, thank you very much for plugging our show on your Futures Television and Futures Radio. We enjoy providing content. And thank you for ending it on a notion of internationalism and globalization. We're in a world right now where since the pandemic, people are falling back to get nationalistic. And I really appreciate your thoughts about how the media can reach out beyond that and bring us back to one world again. Thank you. And thank you for your efforts. I think you're off to... You took on a big challenge to go after this. I talked to a lot of entrepreneurs that are scared to take big steps. And I really appreciate you doing it. And you're doing a great job.
Thank you so much, Ram. We'll talk to you later. Cheers.
So, well, first of all, thank you very much for having me here. It's a pleasure and an honor to be with the Spark Partners today. I was really in the traditional way. I was thinking, I have a magazine, the magazine is online, and I thought, that's the way to go, magazine. And I thought of it as the old days, you flip through the pages of the magazine and that's how people read. And then I started realizing it is really not. People would go through the front cover and then they would go through the, index of articles. They would go to the article they want to read and then they would leave. So there's no going from page to page, beginning to end anymore. And then I started getting more requests for media rich content. And by that, I mean, just media files, interviews and things like that. And then I said, well, why not? I started a podcast. And then I realized, I got 1,000 people reading the article and I got 150,000 people watching the video. And then I realized, oh my gosh, the people don't want to read the magazines anymore. They probably want media rich format where there's more interactive. And from that, I went live. And then in the lives, I could engage with the audience a lot better. I could understand what they want to know. They would give feedback, and then I could build the relationship, which is ultimately what we all want, is to build that relationship with the audience. The audience responds back, and then they realize, well, that's really the way to go. As you mentioned, maybe the old ways of sharing news is no good anymore. I still keep the magazine. I love it. I write. People love writing and reading and commenting. But really, the force became video. And then I realized I have to do that in a structured way. Of course, I have a YouTube channel and things like that. But I realized, no, if I put more structure behind it, and that's how I created Futures Television. There was a niche because television talks a lot about many things, but not one channel that is dedicated to issues of the future. So things like you guys do, right? So business trends, what's trending in the economy, foresight, scenario planning, that kind of stuff. And I thought, no, if I put together a team of wonderful people who can share their views on futures, that it's going to be a winning combination. And that's what drove me, actually. Well, I'm an economist, and few people actually confess to that in public. I'm one of those that will confess. No, so my dissertation was actually in scenario planning, so strategic planning, scenario planning. And so it was very academic, but I very quickly realized, and things that you guys say on the podcast all the time, is that business people don't want to hear your stats, your statistical talk. They want to know real information. They want to talk about the economy, where we're going, but not in statistical terms. So very early in my career, I realized that, talking stats not going to get me very far. But doing models and scenarios that include, consumer confidence and things like that, that's what people want. That's what managers want. And that's what people want to talk about. So I kind of switched, very early in my career. And then I realized, if my goal is to communicate. And you know what, Adam? One problem with my profession, economists, if they say if you open your mouth and nobody understands what you say, you're good, right? And I think this is absolutely horrible. What a waste. No, we want people to understand what you're saying so that it will be useful to them. They will apply it, not in some esoteric future, but today in their jobs or tomorrow. Or like, when you go watch Spark Partners, you're talking about trends and business trends and what you can do about it. And that's what drove me into media. This is something that is applicable, not esoteric conversations, not the ivory tower talking, really, business people discussing what can we do to make our lives better. Yes. So what's really interesting, and I had an interesting discussion with the television people about that and the networks, is that different audiences follow the same media in different platforms. And so, for example, when I go on LinkedIn and I'm live, I get usually the audience is white, male, 45 and above. Okay. When I go through my YouTube channel, it's usually female, 24 to 35. And when I'm in the magazine, I get all of the above, and then I get 18 to 24s. So what I realize is that people, different people, have different preferences for consuming news or information. And then they thought, well, if I want to present this information, I want them to consume the information and do something useful, I have to be in the platforms and in the style in which they want to hear, not in the ones that I want to talk to. And that's really what kind of pushed me, is understanding if I want to deliver some message, I need to look at my customers and understand how, when and where do they want to hear the message. And that's why I kind of branch from one thing to the other. So blogging, I've been blogging and writing for a couple of years, about 8-9 years on my blog, on my own blog. And that, it was kind of interesting, but you know, it wasn't very fulfilling. And I felt it was disorganized in the sense that I didn't have a clear mission with the blog. It was just a blog. We're just, you know, shooting the breeze and talking to people. And then I realized, well, I'm investing time here, right? So it should be beneficial for me and for the others. So what will people get when they read my blog? And that's how I started to organize my thoughts and talking with my friends and my colleagues and partners. I said, well, magazines, we don't have a good magazine to write to anymore. So I'll put that thing together. That was about 2 years ago. And then said, well, I'll start with the magazine, which I thought was really cool. And then I quickly realized, again, as I just mentioned to you, well, they don't read quite a lot and they read very differently. So I said, well, now that I learned that they read differently, then I said, I have to expand the blog into social media. So I got into social media. I used to be 9 social media platforms. I dropped off of the Russian one. I don't want any trouble in there. And from that, 2 years ago, and that's when I really started to think very seriously about taking the blog and turning that into a podcast, and from the podcast to the lives. And about last year, that's when I moved into features television, meaning more organized, more structured, bringing programming that I feel will add to people, not just not waste your time. But I think about television as investing your time. So what do you get when you watch television? If it's just killing time, I think that's not a very good idea. Once you get people watching, then I do want them to get out of the box. I have provocative guests. I have people who talk about, you know, business trends like you guys. I have others that come in. And for example, when we talk stem cells, I have one guy that says it's the best thing since sliced bread. And then I have the dean from the Stanford School of Medicine that says it's hullabaloo. 1 or 2% of it is true. The other 98%, it's Dr. Mesmer or snake oil. It is not proven. They just try to get your money. So I think the role of television is not to become a propaganda machine, but rather to bring information, present information, one side, the other side, and let the audience really decide. Media shouldn't be in the business of telling people what the truth is. What we should be doing is presenting the facts and the information and helping people find information and make a decision on their own. tradition. Yes. So one of the issues that I run into is that the market for television is very fragmented. So you have, you know, Netflix, but then you have Tubi, you have Hulu, you have Roku, you have Apple, etc. So there's like a Chinese buffet. I want, you know, broccoli shrimp, not broccoli beef. So, and I thought, well, the market's so fragmented and you try to be in all the platforms is very tiring. And then I thought, well, which other media could I use that would have a very broad reach? So, and would be basically device agnostic, because nowadays I can hear the radio on the radio, on my PC, on my cell phone, on my tablet, on my Fire, on my Kindle. So I thought, well, what is that media? I said, well, that's radio. Yeah, they say it's old media, but we do put a lot of time into radio. So maybe I'm working and I have my radio in the background, or maybe, you know, I have my headphone, I want to, you know, listen to something while I'm doing, or maybe I'm going to work, or maybe I'm sitting, I'm relaxing, drinking, you know, a glass of wine or a cup of coffee, and I want the news plus some commentary and something interesting. So I want to use my time, and I thought, well, why not radio? Radio is that thing that is device agnostic, it goes anywhere. And then my audience is, instead of being the United States, now it's worldwide, because internet radio, now it's streaming radio, right? So it's the world. So I no longer have to worry about, well, will people in, you know, Urbana listen to my show? Now I have to think about, will people in Manila like what I have to say? But then the beautiful part of it is that when I go through my network and I talk with people, oh, but I'm in the radio. Oh, well, then I can listen to you. Then all the barriers kind of fall down. Oh, I don't have Roku. Oh, I don't have Apple. I don't have Fire. But the radio, that I can do. So I felt the radio allowed me that piece of the engine that was missing, which is a device agnostic, anywhere, everywhere kind of component. And yes, people say it's old style media, but I realized that is a thing that can take me anywhere, everywhere, and whichever way they want to listen to the show, that's where I'm going. Correct. Yes. AM? No. No, not going AM or FM. What I'm doing is streaming. Again, back to Adam's comment, you know, the idea of streaming and streaming the media and streaming. Yeah. So I stream. So why not stream on the waves of the radio? Why not? That's something. that people will only consume the things the way they want it. So I was still thinking the old way, you know, make it and therefore they will buy. You know, if you make a magazine, they will read cover to cover. That's not true. You know, if the article is interesting enough, they will read it. That's not true either. And so, and then I realized, no, so it's not about how I want to say it and how I want to present it. It's about how they want to read or hear or watch and it, when and where. So I went out of the idea of, you know, it needs to be, you know, primetime television, it needs to be scheduled at 6 p.m. No, because some people like their news at 9, some people like their news at 4, some people are drinking tea, others are having supper. So the issue is, the what was really clear to me is that instead of trying to believe in the old media style, which Adam actually said, you know, and I believed in that, I was a believer, then I realized, no, that doesn't work anymore. It really have to, when the voice of the customer, right, understand, and I would started to talk to people and say, I like your stuff, but not at this hour. Oh, I like your stuff, but that's not, I don't have Roku. I like your stuff, but I don't watch Apple. Can't you do something about it? I said, well, I can't. So what is surprising to me is that so many people, at least like me, still think this way. You know, we're still the people that, you know, I buy newspapers and I read through the newspapers and sometimes it's just to do the crossword puzzle at the back. But I think of it as a newspaper, beginning to end, cover to cover, and that's not anymore. So for me, it was a shocking thing is, one thing is when you hear about it, and the other thing is when you see it. When you're trying to communicate with people and the message doesn't go through, and then you ask, so why isn't the message going through? It's because it's not the right media. It's not the right approach. I want whenever I want it and the way I want to consume, not the way you want to present. And then realize that, you know what? I'm not, you know, married to anything. If that's the way they want, that's what they get. And that's what was surprising to me. And I think, you know, I was open-minded to realize, you know, if why keep trying to push the old model if that's not what they want? They want something else, present it, okay? Well, they tried to force feed it to me. They said, well, all that you have to do, and I'm pretty sure the advice was given in the best of possible ways, was to get a bunch of semi-naked people to go up the hills in here in Arizona and do survival in those superstition mountains. And then the guy said, I promise you're going to get 1 million views overnight. Isn't that what you want? I said, yes, I know. Yeah. Then I said, well, look, survival. I have nothing against the show. But look, there are like 200 cameras, right, in the quote island. And in the break, there are like 20 camera people in there. And in the breaks, they're having Big Macs. Everybody knows it's a fake. So how I resisted to all those things is simple. It is really my mission and my vision. And I have to stay faithful to that. So in my perspective, I think television needs to add something to you. To me, to you. So when people tune in, I only go after programming that I'm sure will deliver something positive and constructive. I'm not Pollyannish by any stretch of the imagination, but I feel that people are giving me their time, and the only thing we really have in life is time. Then I need to pay them back with some real content, something that will better their lives, something that will help their businesses grow. And selling this kind of, you know, trash talk, and does it sell? Yes, it does. But it's not what I want. It's not my vision or my mission. My vision is perhaps what we call old style television. I know it's funny. It's called futures television. But the idea of delivering information, constructive talks, getting people to engage, And when they finally, you know, shut down the browser or the radio or the television, they realize, oh, you know what? I heard many tell me about, you know, those new trends in car electrification. Oh, well, you know what? There's a bunch of gas stations here. Now I'm going to go look at them and maybe I can take it over. So I would do something positive. I grew because I watched this partner show. And that's the kind of stuff I'm going to do. The salacious content, it sells, but it doesn't add to anyone. I want to be seen as someone who actually add to someone's life, not take away. I don't want them to burn down. Oh, wait. He's Canadian, so technically he's an alien, right? Oh my gosh. I think we have to think carefully what is the role of the media. And I think it's to inform, to educate, to inspire. And if you think about the role of the media as to sell, then it's a very different story. Then anything's possible and all things are okay. I don't think so. You know, there's a place and a space for that. But I want to offer them, and maybe I drink from the Kool-Aid fountain, but I believe if people see this, they will love it and they will continue to come back and they will tell their friends and their friends will tell their friends and soon enough, you know, we're going to grow the audience. But that's my belief. So one of the most interesting pieces of my mission or my vision is really a focus on diversity. So I believe the only possible future is the future where we all participate and it needs to be co-constructed. So we need to find ways to bring other people's voices into the debate And that's exactly where I want to be. You know, for 10 years from now, right now, I'm just really barely starting. But I started International Hour. So I invited, you know, the Maori people, and they have their show. So they're going to come in and give their perspectives of the world. I'm going to learn about the Maoris and how they see things and what kind of issues they have in New Zealand. And I think for us in the U.S., that's very important because we need to become more open-minded and embrace the rest of the world, hear their voices, what tickles them, what bothers them. And you know what? Perhaps the Maoris have issues that we solved in the past and they can benefit from us. And perhaps we have issues that we have not solved and we can benefit from their perspective or different kind of eyeballs. And I've started, or I am starting International Hour. So New Zealand is first. I'm working with people from Portugal and Brazil to bring content in Portuguese and people from Germany to bring content in German. But again, the whole idea is getting this dialogue in the media. You know, what are they doing? So, for example, you know, in Heidelberg, they banned cars in the city center. Okay. It worked in Heidelberg. Would that work in Hamburg or Berlin? Probably not. Right. But would that work in the United States? Well, I don't know. Maybe in a small community. But communities in Europe are reacting this certain way. Actually, Rotterdam is in the Netherlands, is following suit. Perhaps would be a trend. But what I find interesting is that we as people, now we can sit on the proverbial, you know, internet table or the global table and have those kinds of conversations. And I want to facilitate that. And so 10 years from now, that's what I want. Bigger integration, more voices, different perspectives, and the more the merrier. So that's how I see it 10 years from now. My pleasure. So you can find us on futurestelevision.com. We transmit via Roku TV and Apple TV. You can add us using your Apple TV device. I am imcimagazine.com. So that's the magazine side, which carries the blog. And then it's Radio Futures. And you can find it on radiofutures.com. And you can download the player. So you can listen to what's going on the radio. You can actually listen to the Spark Partners on Radio Futures, or you can watch the Spark Partners on Futures Television. Thanks for your help. Talk to you later. Thank you.